Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What is the purpose of what Mormons call this mortal probation? I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and welcome to Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm here today with Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM, and as we stated yesterday, we are going to be going through the book, The Miracle of Forgiveness. This is a book that we often like to use when challenging Latter-day Saints regarding the teachings that they are supposed to believe, and merely asking them if they're living up to the standards that this book includes. Now again, Spencer Kimball was an apostle when he wrote this book. It was reprinted while he was a president of the church. This book was also recommended more than once in general conference messages for Mormons to read and reread in order to understand what is required of them if they hope to receive that forgiveness that they need to hopefully be exalted in the next life. Eric, why don't you start off with our study here today?
Well, on page 6, and if anybody at home wants to just pick up the book, we're going to be going right from this in the next sessions here, The Miracle of Forgiveness by Spencer Kimball, and so the page numbers should all be the same. And on page 6, under the subtitle, The Gospel or Map, this is what he writes. To pinpoint a destination not previously visited, we usually consult a map. As a second great boon to us, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Savior, has given us our map, a code of laws and commandments whereby we might attain perfection and eventually godhood. This set of laws and ordinances is known as the Gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is the only plan which will exalt mankind. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the sole repository of this priceless program in its fullness, which is made available to those who accept it.
So again, very clearly, he's making the statement that if you're going to find true salvation, you have to belong to what they believe is the only true church, which of course is, they believe, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which obviously means that if their church is the only true church, all other churches claiming to be Christian churches must be false churches. That's not rocket science.
And notice what the purpose is to attain perfection, he writes, and eventually godhood. This is the goal in Mormonism, to attain the top of the celestial kingdom where families can continue on and exaltation will take place, where you become, in essence, as God.
Yes, and Mormon leaders have said as much, that they are basically repeating a process that they believe has been going on since eternity past. They believe that their God was once a human like us, who's the offspring of a God who was also once a human like us, going clear back in eternity past. Now, on page 7, he talks about the prevalence of procrastination. This is a major theme with Spencer Kimball, especially in this first chapter, because this first chapter is called This Life is the Time, where he is emphasizing that Mormons need to pay particular attention to what they are doing and what they are believing now in what they call this mortal probation. And he is emphasizing the fact that you need to do it now. I have to admit, he's not always consistent in how he explains that, but he does seem to quote here right on chapter 1, Alma 34:32, and he's going to reference that later on in the chapter, go into it more in detail, where it says, "For behold, this life is the time for man to prepare to meet God." So on page 7, he picks this up under the subheading Prevalence of Procrastination, and Kimball says, "One of the most serious human defects in all ages is procrastination, an unwillingness to accept personal responsibilities now," and now is in italics. "Men came to earth consciously to obtain their schooling, their training and development, and to perfect themselves, but many have allowed themselves to be diverted and have become merely hewers of wood and drawers of water, addicts to mental and spiritual indolence and to the pursuit of worldly pleasure." But he goes on to include Latter-day Saints. What does he say there?
Well, he says there are even many members of the church who are lax and careless and who continually procrastinate. They live the gospel casually but not devoutly. They have complied with some requirements but are not valiant. They do no major crime but merely fail to do the things required. Things like paying tithing, living the word of wisdom, having family prayers, fasting, attending meetings, serving. He goes on in the next paragraph and he gives an illustration from someone he knows. He says, one church member of my acquaintance said as she drank her coffee, which coffee is not allowed, a hot drink in Mormonism, this is what she said, the Lord knows my heart is right and that I have good intentions and that I will someday get the strength to quit. And then that's the end of the quote. He says, but will one receive eternal life on the basis of his good intentions? Can one enter a country, receive a scholastic degree, and so on the strength of good intent, unsupported by appropriate action? He says, Samuel Johnson remarked that hell is paid with good intentions. The Lord will not translate one's good hopes and desires and intentions into works. Each of us must do that for himself. This is the theme of this book, Bill. Throughout the book, he's going to talk about no matter what your intentions are, no matter how hard you think you're trying, it's not about that. It's actually about doing it.
What's interesting about this book is Kimball seems to answer many of the objections that we have heard given to us by Latter-day Saints when we ask them, okay, this is what the book says. This is what your doctrine says. Are you doing it? And we usually hear all these excuses, you know, the I'm trying excuse, or that's why we have repentance excuse, or any other of a number of excuses we hear. Why are Mormons giving us these excuses? Because they know they're not doing it.
Right.
They are actually procrastinating their repentance. I would venture to say every Latter-day Saint is procrastinating their repentance in some form or another. You ask any Latter-day Saint, what is a requirement for exaltation? They will tell you that one of them is repentance. Repentance, how do you define that? Well, there's six steps of repentance. Basically, it's confessing your sins and what? Forsaking your sins, D&C 58. Now, if that's the fact, then how many sins must you repent of? And Latter-day Saints are usually very consistent on the answer, and they will say all of them. When you ask them, how are you doing at that? Usually the answer is, well, I'm trying, which as we've discussed before, is merely an answer that in its context means I'm not succeeding. I'm failing at that.
Well, that's what we call an excuse, Bill. And he says on the top of page 10, he says, again and again in different phraseology and throughout the centuries, the Lord has reminded man so that he could never have excuse. And the burden of the prophetic warning has been that the time to act is now in this mortal life. That's in italics. One cannot with impunity delay his compliance with God's commandments. He's not going to buy these excuses throughout this book. He's going to intercept these excuses and say, well, somebody's going to say this, and he'll say, but this is why that's not a good excuse.
You know, when you think about it, Kimball seems to understand the effects of law.
Right.
He seems to understand how unmerciful the law really is. But if you think your gospel is based on laws and commandments, then that means your gospel is also unmerciful. And we know from the New Testament that the gospel, as understood in the New Testament through the words of Jesus and the apostles, is certainly everything having to do with mercy, which has to be undeserved. That's not the way it is in Mormonism, and that's why many Latter-day Saints have talked about mercy as being something that must be earned. But then he goes on, and he quotes Alma 34 again. Remember I mentioned a portion of it at the beginning of the chapter.
We quote that all the time, don't we, Bill?
We quote it a lot to Latter-day Saints, especially the Latter-day Saints who think, well, that's okay, I'm trying hard now, but what I'm not doing now, I'll make up in the next life. That's not what the Book of Mormon teaches. If you believe the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God, then these are your marching orders. This is what it says, for behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as you have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that you do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. You cannot say when you were brought to that awful crisis that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, you cannot say that. For that same spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time that you go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your bodies in that eternal world. Basically, the devil will have all power over you. And what it says is that is the final state of the wicked. It doesn't sound from this passage that Mormons are going to have the opportunity to make up for lost time in the next life. But even here, it becomes a little bit confusing because while they're emphasizing the necessity of getting things straightened out during this mortal probation, he quotes Melvin J. Ballard, a Mormon apostle, who gives a commentary on Amulek's expression, and this is what he says, "But this life is the time for in which men are to repent. Do not let any of us imagine that we can go down to the grave, not having overcome the corruptions of the flesh, and then lose in the grave all our sins and evil tendencies. They will be with us. They will be with the spirit when separated from the body." He goes on to say, "It is my judgment that any man or woman can do more to conform to the laws of God in 1 year in this life than they could do in 10 years when they are dead." He goes on to say, "It is much easier to overcome and serve the Lord when both flesh and spirit are combined as one." But yet at the same time, he says, this life is the time to repent. And my argument is, why does he bring up this 1 in 10 years? If you've got eternity to worry about, who cares if it takes 10 times longer? I don't know where he's getting this. I don't see this anywhere in Mormon scripture or certainly in the Bible. But it's that kind of language that maybe some Mormons are trying to latch on to that give them an excuse to procrastinate their repentance. And I don't think Ballard meant that when he said it, but certainly if a Mormon is going to believe the Book of Mormon, it makes it very clear you better not be procrastinating your repentance. And if there are still weaknesses that you have not overcome, that is exactly what you have done within the context of Mormonism.
Now, Bill, in this first chapter, I think we saw two things. Number one, that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has the map to be able to take a person to exaltation or godhood. And number two, it has to be done now. I think that's a pretty good summary of what this chapter was about.
I think you're right. And when I go through and I read what Kimball had to say on these issues, he certainly emphasizes the necessity of getting this done and overcoming all these weaknesses and stop the sinning, basically.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.